This proposal is flawed. The way it was brought to you is flawed. The process was developed wherein the only meaningful participants were the lawyers for Folger Pratt, and where the public was shut out of the process is flawed. Before this ever took the form it is in now, there should have been a lot more public discussion. We hope to reject this and convene a larger, more representative group to look at the remedies for the problems, should real problems actually exist. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
I'll just make one comment about the process. This is a discussion. This CCA hasn't even been introduced yet at the County Council. It's very much a discussion draft, and that's why we're having today's meeting. If it's introduced at County Council, we would then have another public hearing here to comment on the draft, and the expectation is that there would be lots of evolution. And then, of course, the council, before it acts, would have a public hearing as well. So this is certainly not something that's set in stone. This is a subject of discussion, and we intend to take as much input as possible. And as I said, in order to facilitate that, we're not going to vote on it today. But thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
The next group is fundraising at the hospitals, Suburban, Washington Adventist, Montgomery General, and Holy Cross. So whoever you are, come on up. And hospitals here. I know they're here. They got to be here. Let's see. Mr. Natale, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Klein, Mr. Brewer. Those folks here?
Not everybody is here.
You're not here yet? Are they coming? Are you on your way?
They're on their way.
Oh, sure. Well, why don't we hold off then? That's fine. We've got lots more speakers. And in point of fact, we now have all the staff we need for the staff report. So I think maybe it would assist the testimony that we're going to get if they hear the staff report. So, Greg, go ahead with that. That'll be about, 10 minutes at most? Okay.
Again, for the record, Greg Russ from Development Review. As you may recall, back in July, staff brought to you a staff report which sort of was asking for direction in terms of a possible hospital text amendment related to all of the hospitals located in the one-family residential zones. At that time, we present four alternatives to addressing some of the concerns related to hospitals on site, one being leaving special exception provisions as is, another actually going into the master plans and making changes as necessary for those hospital sites that needed such. Another would be to actually rezone the hospitals to a zone, an institutional zone where they all would be under the same provisions of conditions. That would also require creating a new zone and going into the master plans and placing those zones in there as well. And the fourth alternative would be the alternative that staff prefer, which would be requiring an existing hospital that's currently under special exception provisions to instead go under the site plan review provisions with the existing conditions under the special exception being transferred over to the site plan review conditions. And at that point, if any of those conditions were to be necessary to be changed, then it would be done so under the purview of the planning board. Generally speaking, we prefer this approach because existing hospitals have already gone through the special exception process in terms of deciding whether they are actually appropriate for the location and where they're located. And instead of going through that process over and over again for any modifications, we suggest that we go under the purview of the site plan review, where new buildings or expansions of existing buildings or expansions of campuses, et cetera, would come through that process, which is something that you deal with every week in terms of site plan review. Now, in terms of specifics of the language that we proposed, as you mentioned, the language is a work in progress. We did meet with the City of Tacoma Park on Monday night and received a number of very good bits of information in terms of suggestions for what needed to be done as well. We have also looked at the issue of the long-range plan, or as we call it in our text amendment, long-term expansion plan. We placed that in there, but it was truly placed in there as a placeholder because we knew it needed additional work, and we got some good suggestions from the City of Tacoma Park. For example, we are currently working on language, and we're working with legal staff to just come up with a draft in terms of what the long-term expansion plan would entail and how the citizen input portion of it would entail, and also what types of submission requirements would be required for that, and whether that type of plan would need to be updated in a certain time frame to ensure that it remained up to date, thereby maintaining a consistency with the site plan that was being proposed would be consistent with that long range plan. So a lot of the ideas brought up by the City of Tacoma Park are part of the draft that we're working on now in terms of providing a long term expansion plan as part of the site plan review for a hospital. Also, in terms of the conditions, again, the existing conditions of a special exception would follow the into the site plan review process, and by what we would do at that point, the site plan review conditions would supersede the conditions of approval from the special exception. So we would bring all the same ones in, and discussion would be held in terms of which ones were still appropriate at the time of a site plan review. Let's see. In terms of any other specific information, I think I'll leave that for questions you might have, but just one more general statement. In terms of how we've done this, we've placed in the land use table permitted use for all hospitals in the one-family zones, and with an asterisk which says that any modifications or expansions of those the hospitals would go through a site plan review process, and we've set up a set of expanded findings for hospitals in a site plan review process. So they're more enhanced than the existing site plan review findings. And a lot of them coincide or parallel those that are in some of the general conditions of special exception approval as well. At this point, we'll leave it at that and let questions answer.
Well, we're going to take questions after the testimony, but thank you very much. Mr. Brewer, are the hospitals ready yet, or do you need more time? I'm going to deputize you. You let the clerk know when all the hospital people are here, and then we'll hear from them, because you were next on the list, but we're going to go ahead. Eileen Silver, Andrew Strongen, and Lorraine Pearsall are the next three. So all three of you should come up. I understand Sobek and Strongen are combining their time, so I'll give you 10 minutes, and Lorraine, you can have four. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, for an opportunity to speak today. My name is Eileen Sobeck. I'm a resident of Tacoma Park. I've lived there for 15 years. I also represent a group of citizens and neighbors in Tacoma Park and nearby Silver Spring, loosely known as the Sensible Growth Group. I wanted to start by not repeating anything that our elected Tacoma Park representative said, because our council member and mayor have really said extremely eloquently what I think the vast majority of our citizens believe. And I personally and my group strongly endorse those comments. We've been involved for going on 2 years now in the special exception process, some of its formal aspects and informally, in anticipation of the expanded proposal of Washington Adventist Hospital. We've put in a lot of time and effort in working on this. There have been extensive discussions with WA, its representatives, its lawyers, developers, and it's important for you to know and for me to underscore what our representatives said. The members of the community have made it clear from the get-go that we do not oppose this expansion. Overall, we have strong support in our community for WA as a neighbor and for necessary expansion. We have unconditionally supported things like adding 3 whole stories to the hospital for expansion of inpatient rooms, for expansion of ER facilities, and we understand that parking has to be reasonable amount of parking has to be supported. We're not willing to stop discussions and to withdraw and change the playing field when it comes to other major elements. To say that just because an institution is appropriate in one iteration, when a major proposal like WA's expansion, which I think would expand their facility by about a third, they're talking about if their original proposal had gone through, adding a parking garage that has about the same number of parking spaces as the Cameron Street garage down the street here in the middle of a single-family neighborhood served by Flower Avenue and Carroll Avenue, which are one direction in each way. That's a huge change. And to say that determinations of appropriateness and compatibility made years ago with respect to another special exception process are sufficient in a radically different site-specific approval process, I think, is appalling. Is the current process perfect? I don't know. Maybe not. Could it be improved? Probably. But the proposed process that you are looking at today is appalling. I'm happy to hear that you're not going to vote on this today. I think 2 weeks is really premature. I really urge you to consider Mayor Porter's proposal that this go back, and that some of the options that were looked at very cursorily originally are fleshed out. I think that the community in terms of our involvement and through our elected representatives, I think that we have a lot to add to this process. I think it is grossly unfair and perceived by those of us who have participated in this process to change a process and devalue our input that we have been providing for the last 2 years. Makes us feel betrayed by the process. We have made a lot of progress. There have been constructive developments. We are looking, as Lorraine always says to us, for a win-win for the hospitals and the communities. That has happened in other communities, like at Holy Cross and Silver Spring. We think there's potential for that in Tacoma Park, and we really don't think it's fair to change the process on us midstream after everything we've put into it. To say that this is the beginning of the process and there's still a lot of opportunity for input, I do not believe is good enough. You can start a journey at the bottom of the Grand Canyon or at the top of the mountain, and that really changes both the endpoint and the journey itself. And I think that this is the staff recommendation that's before us now is clearly in need of massaging input, probably substantial change. And I think that to send it forward to the council or even put it back up for hearing as soon as 2 weeks from now is not the wisest course. And I think that you've gotten many, many submissions from members of our community who were not able to be here to leave their jobs today, but who feel very strongly about this issue. I think that the last thing I would say is I think it's very important not to take the representations of any party in any process such as this at face value without delving into them. I don't expect you to take what I say at face value, and I hope that you don't take what the hospitals and others say at face value without looking into the facts. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
My name is Andrew Strong, and I'm also a resident of Tacoma Park. I thank you for this opportunity to address the board. My concern here today is principally procedural. I am not an expert in discussions of differences between plan review and special exception review. I was going to find my way through the thicket of special exceptions if and when Washington Venice ever filed its proposal. I'm in no hurry for that. But let me say this. I am, and I think it's relevant to my comments, I am a labor arbitrator. I make my living essentially as an administrative law judge. These are the things that I know about. We have before us a draft piece of legislation. And with all respect to the board, I think it's an understatement to describe that as a discussion draft. I think it is self-denigrating and misleading. You have a draft text amendment before you to be sent up to the county council to be perhaps made law. And it is the product not of discussions with the communities and the businesses within the communities, but only with the hospitals. And that is a serious, in my judgment, a serious violation of the due process rights for the communities, who have a tremendous stake in the outcome of any of the rules that are going to have to do with the way that the hospitals are going to operate and perhaps expand within the community. So I ask on that basis that the draft be rescinded entirely, pending appropriate conversations with the communities to get an equal amount of input that I know from other discussions that the hospitals have had in a substantial way. Additionally, just in a reaction to the July memoranda and the text amendment that's before you now, to me it's a false choice. There are four choices laid out there, one of which is the current state of events, the two of which were immediately rejected by the staff, which left us with one, as if that was the sum total of what we could come up with in terms of creative ways of dealing with development problems and challenges. I think there are many creative ways, and Mayor Porter spoke to at least one of them, to address a problem. And in my judgment, to look at a problem and to suggest that we can deal with on a global basis any kind of development, whether it be minor or major, without drawing that distinction, I just think it's untenable. I'm sure there are minor modifications that come up that are being dealt with obscenely, but through the special exception process in terms of just inefficiencies. I'm sure that's true. And there may well be reasons to streamline that process. But this is coming up now in the context of Washington Venice's desire to put a major, in their own terms, a quote, major modification that would overwhelm this neighborhood by their own numbers in the traffic studies, would literally bring to failure the main road that runs through the middle of the community of Tacoma Park to failure, and that needs to be understood, and suggest that in this context we need to change the rules for special exception review, I think is to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That would be a mistake. There may well be a reason to ease the rules, but this case is not the right case. And with that, I just simply would reiterate very briefly, the communities need to be included. And I know this is not simply a rule for Washington Venice Hospital, but for all the county hospitals. And there are a lot of communities that need to be addressed before this body writes a zoning text amendment on its own to be sent up for law. This body has to be accountable to all the communities and not just to the hospitals. And I know that you believe that to be true, so it needs to be reflected also in the work product. And with that, I thank you.
Thank you. Lorraine, 4 minutes.
My name is Lorraine Pearsall. I'm Vice President of Historic Tacoma. And we agree with all of the statements you have heard by the City of Tacoma Park and the representatives of Sensible Growth who are sitting here. Historic Tacoma is involved in this because we very much are concerned about protecting our wonderful neighborhoods, and we also are concerned with our institutions. We have many large institutions within our boundaries, And in fact, I would say we have a fairly good track record. I'm very proud of the constructive way in which we work together, for example, with Montgomery College to find a solution. And Chairman Berlage, you know that. We went through quite a process with that, but we stuck with it because we wanted the institution to stay. We wanted to find a viable solution. We wanted to find something that would work for both the community and the college, and we did. Now, we have been engaged in discussions with the hospital, and together with the city, Historic Tacoma, Sensible Growth, working together to try to find locations for a satellite campus for them for future expansion needs. We think this is the way they really need to go. So having this proposed text amendment come up on us very quickly really took us all by surprise, and we're really quite amazed, actually, that we're sitting before you today. We think it is very, very premature to be here, and we think it's very disturbing. It seems to us as though, in the middle of trying to work together to find a solution, it almost appears as though the hospital is looking for a quick political fix, and that is not the way we like to see things go, and I don't think that does a credit to you as well either. And so we are here today to say this proposed text amendment should not go forward to County Council. It is far from ready to go forward. There needs to be quite a bit of consideration as to whether this process needs to be changed at all. But you would be doing a great disservice to the community, and I know you would not want to do that. So please rescind this proposed text amendment. It should not go forward to County Council. And we're also wondering how this even came to be. It just took us by such surprise, and I wonder if any of you can tell us who initiated this proposed text amendment, because our own County Council member advised us that they told Park and Planning to not move forward with this. And I must say that while Park and Planning has done wonderful work, and we've worked with them many times in the past, this is not one of their shining moments. So we would really like to see or know who it is that suggested this proposed text amendment be brought forward, and we wonder if any of you can tell us that.
Any questions? I can answer your question. I didn't propose this specific text amendment, but the idea came from me.
Okay. Thank you.
But as I said, we are very much open to hearing everybody's input on the idea and making sure we come up with the right solution. Okay. We have four hospitals. Let's see if you all can. You're going to pull your time, is that right? Or do you want to speak individually?
Probably.
Why don't you pull your time and we'll have 30 or 15 for all four?
I'll go first, I guess, right?
Thank you, Chairman Berlage, and first, apologize for walking in late. I just walked in. I was the one who delayed things, and am disappointed that I wasn't able to hear all the testimony from the community at this point, but I'll be sure to get a transcript of it. For the record, Tom Natelli, I'm the chairman of the Board of Suburban Hospital and have served on Suburban's board for 11 years now, and in my relatively short time there, when you compare it to the length of time the institution has been there, I have, of course, seen tremendous changes in the needs of the community and the undertakings of the institution to serve for today and beyond, not just from the perspective of technical innovation or the demographic changes, but also changes that have come from the threats posed to the community that we didn't appreciate or perhaps acknowledge in years past. To give you a couple, for instances, Suburban in the next couple of weeks will be undertaking a response training program with Naval Med and NIH, which will involve hundreds of staff from those facilities on how to respond to a biological catastrophe, if you will. These are the kinds of things we didn't even think about prior to 2001. And there are going to be changes in the way we look at how we serve the community as a result of some of the efforts underway today. I'm here to speak in favor of amendments to the zoning ordinance to permit more flexibility and speed with which changes can be made to facilities to respond to the needs of the community. The current process, which requires us to go, as you know, through special exception for every change, is laborious and prevents us from being able to respond in a fashion that meets the needs of the community. And again, Suburban is a community institution. It's owned by the community. It's governed by representatives of the community who are elected each year. So I don't feel as if we need to be at odds with the community. We have a good interactive working relationship with the community. But yes, we're a big facility in a zone that has grown up around us as a residential zone. Suburban's been there since 1940. The need to go through the process we have to go through today makes it very difficult to react and respond to even add a 10,000 square foot addition to our emergency room to meet some of the current needs we have requires us to go through that process. I think the proposal, which is before you, while I recognize there are concerns about it, is a good one to work from. Perhaps there are some changes that can be adopted to address some of the concerns raised, but this body has demonstrated year in and year out that it takes a balanced view to addressing the needs of all the parties involved through the site plan process, and this body is well equipped to handle that responsibility. To go through this kind of a process, which would include a longer-term plan for the institution, so at least you have some sense of the planning longer term, would give the community a roadmap and would give this body some sense of scope of change. So let me stop here since I've used my 3.5 minutes, but I'd be available for any questions at the end. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Bill Robertson. I'm the president and CEO of Adventist Healthcare, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Hospitals do play a vital role in the public health infrastructure of our communities. They're, in fact, central to that infrastructure. And it is our collective obligation as the hospitals in Montgomery County to make sure that our health systems keep pace with the growing needs of our community. And we live in a growing community here. We're blessed to live in a growing community. We are very proud as hospitals of our long-standing commitment to the track record of meeting our community's health care needs, and we want to continue that commitment. Our commitment to our community includes working closely with our community because we are community organizations, and we can't be robust health systems without meeting those needs that our communities have. This county has a proud history of strong community involvement in land use and land planning issues, as evidenced by the meeting we're having here today and other meetings like this. And we wholeheartedly endorse a strong and ongoing role for the citizens of Montgomery County to be involved in land use issues relating to hospitals. Speaking on behalf of Washington Adams Hospital in Tacoma Park, we have been engaged with our community for over 3 years in a dialogue on how best to balance the county's needs for enhanced services at the hospital with the local community's interest in preserving what is a very unique and interesting place called Tacoma Park. This process has worked. We have made numerous adjustments in the size, scope, and parking arrangements in response to local community concerns. And we're happy with the progress we've made. It is not our intent to throw those changes and those improvements out in a revised process that we are discussing here today. Under the proposed changes, such community consultation that we have been using will continue. As community institutions, hospitals understand the need for and the value of being engaged actively in consultation with our communities around things not just about land use, but the service mix we have, the types of ways we deal with issues of indigent care and the like. Washington Adams Hospital has been a proud member of the Tacoma Park community for 97 years, and we're looking forward to another fruitful century of working with our community. However, our county has reacted to dramatic changes in the nature of the countywide community's health care needs. We have a dramatically aging population. We have extraordinary diversity. We have increased demand for integrated and collaborative care between physicians and hospitals, and all of our emergency departments are overflowing. We need a process that honors our county's and our hospital's strong tradition of community involvement in land use issues, and a process that meets our county citizens' expectations for a modern systems of hospital and healthcare services. I am convinced that the proposed legislation will help achieve these goals, and as president of Avenus Healthcare, I urge the council to approve the amendment as recommended by the staff.
Thank you.
My name is Jody Klein. I'm an attorney with offices in Rockville, and I represent Montgomery General Hospital, and I'm going to defer to Mr. Brewer to provide our comments on some of the text of the proposed text amendment, some of which we've had an opportunity to share with staff, but not all of them.
Thank you, Jody. Robbie Brewer, Lurch, Julian Brewer, and I'm here on behalf of the hospital attorneys to provide some technical comments on the draft zoning text amendment. We've not had an opportunity to review many of these with your staff, and your hiatus of 2 weeks certainly would allow that to occur. There are four particular comments we'd like to make. The first several pages of the text are fine. Our first comment appears on page 5. It has to do with subparagraph 4 on that page. Off-street parking is 59C1.381B. And it reads that off-street parking should be located to achieve a maximum of coordination and so forth. And then it says parking should be limited to a minimum in the front yard. As I've advised your staff, all the hospitals in the county currently have parking as a maximum in the front yard. It's been the way it's been developed over the years. It's a vestige of the old law. I don't think it should continue. It's not factually accurate, and it's impossible to achieve. And I think when changes are made there, deleting the phrase maximum elsewhere in that paragraph would not diminish the meaning and would make the paragraph far more workable. Our second change that we suggest is adding a waiver provision that we've discussed in the past with the staff that gives the planning board authority to waive setbacks in lot coverage, a setback in building off-street parking, loading, maneuvering setbacks, as well as in lot coverage, if it finds that those adjustments are necessary to implement a long-range plan and doesn't adversely affect the community. It's one longer sentence that I can share with your staff. The third comment of four we'd like to make is the language that obligates a long-term plan to be filed doesn't accommodate the myriad of minor amendments that are routinely filed to add a generator, a temporary trailer to relocate staff, to put a sign a different place, to take out a dead bush. I can't tell you how many of those on behalf of hospitals I filed over the years. And I think it's entirely unnecessary to have a long-range plan filed every time we need to do that. And then finally, the fourth comment I'd like to submit to you is at the very end of the text amendment. It's on page 7, it's subparagraph B at the bottom. It has to do with incorporating special exception conditions into site plans. There is language at the beginning of the text amendment that says a site plan condition supersedes special exception conditions. That's fine. And it goes on to say in this subparagraph B that special exception conditions can be incorporated into the site plan approval, and then they become site plan conditions. That's fine and good, and we're supportive of that. The first sentence, however, of that paragraph does not work effectively, where it says the planning board must adopt as site plan conditions all special exception conditions of approval. Inherent in a site plan is a change from what exists, and it's not going to be logically possible to engraft all special exception conditions in site plan. So we would suggest the deletion of the first sentence. It's a non-substantive change for the direction of the text amendment, but it does help for reasonable implementation. We'd be happy to work with your staff over the next several days, certainly prior to the time you next convene, and to review with them these four changes, which are in the interest of clarity and consistency for the proposed text amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions?
Mr. Brewer, are you submitting those as written comments?
We will.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Brewer, when you say that you don't want the long-term expansion plan to tie your hands for every trailer and every bush, does that imply that you would, however, be open to a binding long-term expansion plan for major changes to the facility?
I think that's the intent, and I think that's what's appropriate, yes.
Okay.
Maybe we can, this is something we could explore later, but if you could give some thought to what elements you would look at in such a plan, and say that maybe the scope of the facility, impact on traffic, some of the obvious concerns that the community is going to have.
We'll hear that.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. The next group is Norman Knopf, Bob Deans, and Amy Scheman. Or Scheinman. Mr. Knopf and Mr. Deans are representing associations, so you'll each have 4 minutes, and Ms. Scheinman will have 3 as an individual.
5 minutes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Deans. I'm a director of the Huntington Terrace Citizens Association. I represent the 300 households in our historic community that has residential roots reaching back to the early 1700s. We're grateful for the good work that you all do here, and we're grateful for the time to speak to you today. The proposal before you is not aimed at solving a problem. The current system is working and working well. Instead, this proposal is a dangerous attempt to legislate the destruction of our communities, and that is exactly what it would do. It is not consistent with the goals of the county master plan. It is not consistent with regional practices, and it doesn't reflect the kind of responsible public policy making that the people of Montgomery County have come to expect. Our board carefully reviewed this proposal, unanimously voted to oppose it. We respectfully urge you to reject it. We support the existing special exception designation for hospitals and residential areas for one reason, because that's exactly what they are. They're special exceptions. A hospital is not a home, and treating a hospital as a special exception it is provides the best way to reconcile the inevitable conflicts that arise when a hospital owner chooses to locate in a residential section. The Board of Appeals is the proper venue for reviewing special exception pleadings by hospitals. It has the flexibility it needs to review these pleadings on a case-by-case basis in a way that is efficient, transparent, and deliberative, accessible to all interested parties, subject to judicial oversight, and ultimately and fully accountable to the public. The Planning Board site review procedures are essential, but they were not designed to be a substitute for the Board of Appeals process, which is centered on extensive testimony, thorough cross-examination, and a detailed and comprehensive inquiry probing the block-by-block and even house-by-house consequences of hospital modification proposals. The site review process simply wasn't designed for this mission. The Board of Appeals process promotes constructive dialogue and communication between communities and the hospitals in their area. Again and again, we've seen this process work. We will never know how many potential mistakes have been averted through this process. Why on earth would anybody want to dismantle it? The Board of Appeals has reviewed special exception modification requests from area hospitals 34 times since 1968. Only one such request has ever been denied. In other words, just once since the presidency of Lyndon Baines Johnson has the Board of Appeals said no to Montgomery County hospitals. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a planning and review process that results in one denial every 36 years cannot possibly be called a regulatory problem. At this rate, hospitals won't even hit a regulatory speed bump but once between now and the year 2040. There's no problem here. We've got a system that's already in place that has a long and established record of working extremely well for all of us. It's exactly the same system the staff reports that's used in 5 out of 6 surrounding counties. There's no reason to replace it and no justification for abandoning the essential safeguards it provides. And on behalf of the 300 households of our community, I respectfully urge you to reject this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I think I am.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Amy Scheinman. I'm a resident of Huntington Terrace, a wife, a mother of two young children, and experienced for 15 years in commercial real estate finance. I'm here to speak in opposition to the proposal before you, which would eliminate the Board of Appeals process for changes to suburban hospital. The hospital operates as a special exception in a neighborhood zoned exclusively for single-family residential use. This existing process requires and supports constructive and cooperative communication between area hospitals and their communities. This process has worked, and I want to share with you my personal experience participating in this system. Just 3 years ago, Suburban Hospital worked with our community on a plan to expand some of its ventilation and emergency generating facilities. Our community liaison representatives included myself, an engineer, an attorney, and a businessman, all volunteering our time and expertise. Through this special exception process, we worked closely with Suburban and reached agreement that resulted in our community support for the hospital's request before the Board of Appeals. The board granted Suburban's request, as it has done five other times since 1967. On the other hand, 4 years ago, Suburban unveiled to our community plans to raise 9 houses, close off a county thoroughfare, Lincoln Street, and bulldoze mature lawns and trees so that it could expand and build a sprawling parking lot and expansion that would have brought thousands of additional cars per day into our neighborhood. Again, through the special exception process, our community liaison group worked closely with hospital representatives in search of a solution that would accommodate the hospital while protecting our residential community. In fact, we came up with several options that appeared to meet that objective. Under the options we explored, all of which had been evaluated by Suburban itself at one time or another, the hospital would have been able to add parking spaces and would have gotten the desired square footage to its building in a way that worked both for the community and the hospital. Our liaison group was prepared to take any of these workable solutions to our community for its consideration. But Suburban dismissed those options abruptly and announced it was no longer interested in working with us. The hospital never pursued the expansion options that we collaboratively and exhaustively worked together on, so hard to explore. We wondered why not. Well, now we know. Apparently, the hospital decided that it has to have it all its way or not at all. It doesn't want to have construction discussions with us. That's insulting to me and my colleagues and representatives of our community. It seems to be saying, if it can't steamroll the community, why bother with the community? Now Suburban comes to you requesting to eliminate the very process of constructive dialogue with us and through the Board of Appeals that it's proven valuable, effective, and essential. If anything, these protections afforded by us in this process should be strengthened, please not eliminated. Again, we want to continue, as the hospital said, a strong and ongoing role.
Thank you. Mr. Kizana, well, Mr. Knopf, you want to cede us some time?
Not at all.
No? Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Norman Knopf. I'm going to speak very fast because the chairman has decreed cutback time and he's also closed the hearing list. So I got caught and I now had some ability. Somebody needed to cede me time. That is one of the reasons why citizens are very much against this amendment, because the procedures here at the Planning Board do not afford the protections and opportunities that the Board of Appeals procedures do. This amendment is not needed. As just discussed, the hospitals are getting what they want without the benefit of this amendment. Truly, they have to sit down and talk to the community, and the project may have to be changed somewhat, but it comes out to the benefit of the community and to the hospital. I give you the example of Holy Cross Hospital. They proposed, we represented that community, a large expansion, closing the street, tearing down houses. The community, through the special exception process with all those protections, said, why can't you build the building on another portion of your property toward the park where it would not have those adverse impacts? And that is what happened. The hospital got what it wanted. The community got less adverse impacts. Those protections were obtained because the special exception process has many more details, many more procedural safeguards that are absent here. You take those away now, you take away the protections from the community. With all due respect, this site plan process cannot substitute for the Board of Appeals, and the protections are needed in the community. They're not needed to be abolished for the hospitals. Substantively, the law is totally different before the Board of Appeals, affording many more protections than this amendment. I call your attention to the staff report on page 5 in the July staff report, and it says, once the use is a permitted use, the inherent non-inherent effects finding could be eliminated, as would findings like the use would not be detrimental to the use, peaceful enjoyment, or economic value of surrounding properties, will cause no objectionable noise, odors, illumination, glare, or adversely affect the health, safety, security, morals, or general welfare of the residents of the area of the subject site. Gone. That's why the hospitals are here. They want to say bye-bye to those conditions. The citizens need those conditions. Procedurally, you cannot substitute the benefits for the hearing examiner process before the Board of Appeals. As Mr. Bryant knows, Board of Appeals procedures, cross-examination, unlimited testimony, not and you're out. These safeguards are needed for the benefit of good planning, for the benefits of the community, and it makes a better hospital project. Please do not get rid of them. Enforcement. The Board of Appeals has now an inspector that enforces. The citizens can complain to the Board of Appeals and start an enforcement proceeding. Your site plan procedures for enforcement are only you have to have your inspector go out, and we all know how busy your people are, and then only you can enforce it. The citizens cannot bring in action. I'd like to now address some very specific things. What this does is set this body up as a review procedure for the Board of Appeals. Do you want that job? You are asked to look at every condition the Board of Appeals has imposed and then decide whether it ought to continue or not. That's what this calls for, expressly. Those are the conditions are set by the Board of Appeals after hearing, cross-examination, days of hearing, a 50 or 60 page findings of fact by the hearing examiner, and here it goes into maybe what? An hour or 3 minutes per person, and you have to make those judgments. I don't think you really want that role. I would hope you would clearly examine it. There are numerous supposed safeguards in here, such as setbacks. Look carefully. It's worded so there's no safeguard. Setback said you have to be on height for that portion of the building next to the residential area. You can't exceed, you have to set back the height of that portion. So you build a one-story building that's 10 feet wide, but next to it you've got your 12-story building. It's no longer that portion. You've got an 8-foot setback in an R60 zone. Time will not let me go on to these other things. Please look at them with care, such as parking. There are special exception parking conditions. This board knows, Mr. Bryant knows better than anybody. All the special protections, they're all abolished here by some generic language about how it should be an amenity. They abolish the compatibility requirement and abolish the special parking requirements. I'll stop now because I've run out of time, but I'm just saying that the site plan process, no matter how many your efforts and your staff efforts, cannot substitute for a Board of Appeals process, and that is needed for the protections of the community, and we have not seen a showing as to the need for the hospitals to get rid of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Don't see any. Okay. The next group is Vera Ashworth, Ruben Snipper, and Ron Resch. Vera Ashworth is first.
Good afternoon. My name is Vera Ashworth. I was trying to cram and be prepared to talk about the master plan and how this violates it, but I just found out about this last night, so I'm a little sleep-deprived, and I don't think I can add too much more than what the mayor said. So I'd like to speak to you as a resident. I've been a resident of Bethesda for 18 years. I've used the services of Suburban Hospital several times. In fact, I took my husband there before we were married for a treatment, and when we left, we looked through the neighborhood, and we really loved the neighborhood. After we were married, we bought a house there. We have a small 1937 two-bedroom home on Lincoln Street, the street that the hospital wanted to close and said we don't use. And 1937 predates the hospital, and I by no way have the oldest home in the neighborhood. We have lived there for 13 and a half years. I have a young daughter who attends the public school nearby. I have been disappointed and dismayed by the hospital's efforts over the years to buy homes in our neighborhood and submit plans to tear down these homes. Despite promises to stop buying houses, the hospital bought a property on Southwick Street. I thought it was in recent weeks, but it was in July, but it just showed up in the paper. I understand from elderly neighbors the struggle has been going on for many decades, and now it appears that the hospital wants to circumvent the zoning and permitting process and deny me the right to participate in decisions that impact me, my life, and my home. The last time I checked, Montgomery County was part of a free world where one's rights were protected. My house is not just my home, but it is my family's primary investment. I don't want the hospital expanding and backing up to my home or the home of my neighbors. The residential zoning of Huntington Terrace and Suburban Hospital has stood for many years, and any backdoor effort to change that or deny me the right to challenge development plans is a step back in time. And I'd like to say that to the gentlemen from the hospital that were here, if they lived in my house on my street and did not work for the hospitals, they would be opposed to this too. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Resch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, my name is Ron Resch. I'm representing today the Greater Bethesda Chevy Chase Chamber of Commerce. We are an organization with close to 1,000 members, and we've been doing business in the Greater Bethesda area, benefiting that community as well as Montgomery County for almost 80 years. Several of our top priorities over the years, and they remain consistent, are quality of life, community well-being, and sound, efficient government practices and procedures. We believe by supporting the zoning text amendment under consideration, we meet those obligations and fulfill our responsibilities to our members' priority. We feel that the current system requiring existing hospitals each time a modification or expansion affecting land use is proposed to re-justify their basic use, their basic existence, is not the most efficient use of health care resources, which are very, very limited. Nor do we believe it is the most efficient and effective way to approach land use regulation. We feel that the proposed zoning text amendment would better address these particular issues. We believe that by eliminating the recurring need to justify use, which has already been approved, would allow the authorities, yourselves, other the community, and so on, to focus on the issues that are most critical to hospital expansion and modification, that is, the design, compatibility, and impact of the proposal. We believe that working through, and this is not going to be an overnight situation, which is well obvious, but working through this proposal, it could be brought to the point where adequate safeguards are imposed, strengthened, and so on, without the need to duplicate the Board of Appeals process. We believe that this will meet many of the challenges facing hospitals today. We're well aware in our organization of the changing conditions and the mandates and requirements and the need to respond in a expeditious manner by the hospitals to changing conditions, to remain economically viable, and to provide the type of health care communities want. We believe that this proposal will allow them to do that in a more effective manner. And further, we want to emphasize, and we know you're aware of this, but we are not just carte blanche supporting this. We're supporting this with the understanding that any new hospitals, which would be the case, would have to go through the existing procedure, the special exception procedure. Because once again, our goal is not just to make things easier, but our goal is to protect the communities, which operates to the overall well-being of our members and the county. Thank you for allowing us to present these comments.
Thank you. Mr. Snipper?
Yes, my name is Ruben Snipper, and I'm with the Sensible Hospital Growth Organization that spoke earlier. I'm going to make very brief comments in deference to the large number of people who have already spoken, and many of them have spoken about points that I would make, so I will not repeat those. I just wish to say that I do oppose changing the process at this point, one. Two, I think that if you were going to change the process, this is a very important piece of legislation that would happen. It needs public hearing and public debate. It needs public discussion. You've heard from several other people supporting the current process. You've heard the hospital supporting a change in the process. This kind of discussion with supporting testimony, with us having enough time to develop the arguments necessary, is essential to before any change is made. I urge you all to take account of that and put in place a process that will allow both sides in this discussion to present detailed testimony for it. I also would like to say something about the hospital. I have used both Suburban Hospital and WA. I live two blocks from the Washington and Venice Hospital. I've used it many times for myself, my kids, my wife. My mother, who recently died peacefully in her sleep, actually, lived a short distance from Suburban, and we went to Suburban many, many times. And we also used their off-site medical office buildings. We had no problem using those off-site medical office buildings, had many discussions with the doctors there at Suburban about whether that worked for them, and they said, of course, they would prefer to be on campus, but yes, it did work. I specifically asked these kinds of questions. That's in the interest of time, I will end my comments there.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Bryant?
Yeah, my question is, Mr. Resch. I listened to what you said, and I was under the impression that what you were proposing is giving consideration to sort of an expedited process for hospitals that are already established. And I think you used the phrase that they wouldn't have to justify themselves every time they came before the Board of Appeals. Are you suggesting, is that what you're suggesting?
I use the term expedited process, meaning that the aspect of going before the Board of Appeals under the proposal would be eliminated each time, except for new hospitals applying. And we believe that by focusing on the site plan review, which I'm certain would be enhanced, made stronger, et cetera, focusing directly on the hospitals, it would eliminate the lengthy and costly process before the Board of Appeals each time going back to, let's say, point one, saying this is why we are here and this is, you know, we have to justify our existence in a residential zone. Mm-hmm. This would, I think, and our organization thinks it would allow more careful focus to be put on the requirements and the compatibility and that type of thing.
Okay.
But I didn't mean to suggest that it's to eliminate anything. The requirements of safeguards would still be there because, I'll emphasize once again, as a organization representing businesses and nonprofit groups and so on and so forth, we have a large stake in the well-being and the ambiance and the attractiveness and the livability of the communities in our area of reference. And we would be the last organization to want to see anything done that would so open the floodgates, so to speak, to uncontrolled, unconditioned usages.
Right. My second question is, and this is a hypothetical question because I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but if by chance the outcome required or encouraged the your organization representing 1,000 businesses as well as the lawyers representing the hospitals specifically to work in conjunction with community-based groups around the concerns that were expressed, would there be is that a feasible, or would there be a willingness to participate in such a...
Commissioner Bryant, I would say with absolute certainty there would. The commissioners are well aware of the efforts that we have ongoing right now, meeting with the community and developing consensus in a particular area, the Woodmont Triangle and so on and so forth. We have done that on numerous occasions, and our chamber would be committed to being part of that process,
okay.
I can assure you.
Thank you very much.
I just have one very brief follow-up. If I understood correctly, you expressed concern about the problem of a hospital in an expansion needing to re-justify its existence. Is your understanding that if you're a 100,000-foot hospital and you want to build a 5,000-foot addition, then in order to put 5,000 square feet on, you have to re-explain the existence of the 100,000?
You wouldn't have to explain the existence of 100,000, but you would, of necessity, have to address the overall aspect of it.
I'm sorry.
In other words, I don't think that you would limit yourself entirely to the $100,000 expansion. Of necessity, you would have to indicate how well you're doing and how this relates to what your already approved activities are.
So your understanding is you have to readdress the validity.